allegations.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. We don't have a forum, Frank. Just won't let that go. Yeah, I'm trying to let it go.
It's like a weed that just won't die.
Tell him that when he knows you're in the study of Galatians, I'm there. Pretty ought to go.
Right.
That's where I'm at, right there.
So in advance.
Yeah. About the hypocrite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Now we... I did. Thank you. And we won't try to stop in enough time to do that. But we are in Galatians again. Don't take over your time. So, but we're back here, and again, Paul's defense of the gospel that God had given him. And he's writing to the Galatians who had mixed works with grace. An issue that was settled years ago that we still struggle with today. When I say we, the church, professing church, that is. Chapter 1, verse 6, we'll pick it up there, where Paul says, I marvel to the Galatians that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what I guess the key thing is for us to remember is if a man teaches other than the grace of God, he's perverting the gospel of Christ. The gospel, it's the good news of Christ. It's what he has done. That's what the gospel of Christ is what he has done. And what has he done? He has done, I heard you say, you mouthed it, everything. He has done everything. What can we add to his work, his finished work? What can we add to it? That's why he says, there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And, you know, I was coming over here and I thought about this. Is we look at, and this is just something I was thinking about. If I start off with 6, right? Matter of fact, let's just use a good number. Let's start off with 7. Because we associate that with perfection, right? So if I start off with 7, and we'll say that I'm perfect, right? What if I add this? 7 plus, this is Mia. How about this, Mia? 7 plus a negative 7. That too much for her, huh? 7 plus a negative 7 is what? Is 0. That's what Paul said it is. He says, whosoever of you are justified by the works of the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. I'm thinking that there's a lot of things that people would say that we can do. Like the Galatians, Paul's, the Judaizers came into the Galatians and says, we know you got saved by grace, what Christ has done. He made you perfect. But you got to do these. And what that does, what these do, the works, they take away from the grace. That's why he says, if you seek to get it by this, Christ profits you nothing. You end up with nothing. No righteousness. Because you've detracted from that. And that's what he's telling the Galatians is you don't have anything. Because you let somebody come in and pervert it. So, and that's what a perversion is. It's the opposite of something. The opposite of 7 is what? -7.
I just think about that verse, 1 Corinthians 1:17, where it says, you have to be baptized unless the cross of Christ be made of nothing. It's the same principle.
That is the principle, is anything that you add to his finished work is a perversion.
and he specifically is saying baptism.
It's the opposite. Look at First Corinthians, and I'll show you why he said this, to pervert it. First Corinthians, I think Ed actually mentioned some of this last week. First Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. After 1 Corinthians, right? and Paul said this. He says in verse 5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For, he said, for the letter... What? The letter kills, but the Spirit, what? Gives life. The letter is a perversion of life. Okay, look at verse 7. He says, but if the ministration of death be glorious, right? He says, if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses and of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Right? He says, for if the ministration of... I'm sorry. Of ministration of what? Condemnation. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness do what? Exceed in glory. For that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. And you can see that we talked about last week that law and grace just won't mix. They're opposite of each other. You had a question? Oh. And when you go through it, you can see that. We can see that, right? I mean, it's just they're just polar opposites. And the minute you add anything to his finished work, it begins to pervert it. It begins to turn it around. It begins morphs it. It actually corrupts it. Adulterates it. I can't think of the word I was...
Dilute
it? Yeah. I remember reading something once before that... Little leaven leavens the whole lump. But this... I mean, like oatmeal. Like oatmeal? Oatmeal is what? 100% what? Oats. You know what rat poison is? It's 99% oats and 1% poison.
Is that right?
So, all it takes is a little bit. I don't think she'd do that to you. Okay, back to Galatians. So, you can see that the difference between the two, and in Romans, Paul says if it works, then it's not of grace. And if it's grace, then it's not of works. He says, otherwise, grace is no more grace, and work is no more work. Now, you, if you're talking to some Gentiles who had never had anything, that's great news that you don't need the works of the law. If you're talking to Gentiles today, that's great news, isn't it? What we were taught, of all the things that we had to do, all the things that we had to do, our righteousness, to be perfect, to be acceptable with God, to be righteous with God, all the things that we had to do, to find out we don't have to do that, that should be great news. We should embrace that. But we don't. I wonder why.
We're lazy.
Because there's something in us, the old nature, he wants to have his hand in things. He wants to. Pride of life. He wants to. We talked about that last week. Pride is a deadly thing. You know, I was thinking, I believe this is God's word. Matter of fact, I have no doubts about it. But, you know, it's so much in here is, and I think we quote this, Paul said this, if any man thinks he knows, he doesn't know as he ought to know. And there's so much information that originates from this book. We won't ever get it all this side of glory. I know that. And what we're doing here, and I'm saying this, I'm not downplaying what we're doing here, but what we're doing here is almost like child's play compared to the information that's available based on this book. When I say that, because we do have a great advantage because we understand right division. That's a great advantage. But when I say there's so much, the Word of God is inexhaustible. And the reason why we have problems with it is because a lot of we fear what we don't understand. You're scared to move into it because of the ignorance. But you can't approach it that way. You just go little by little as the Lord. That's why we come here, as the Lord shows us more, then we grow in that light. And one of the things that when Paul told the Galatians, he said, Jesus Christ was evidently set forth among you. That means it was plain enough. It was so plain that they can get it. And he says, I marvel. I'm amazed that you left this. I know a lady in Detroit, and she said, well, she's been in the grace movement for years. And she says, well, I'm a Buddhist now. I said, wow. I said, what happened? I was like, Paul, I marvel that you were, it wasn't so soon removed, but she was removed. I said, what happened? And she says, well, I just don't believe it anymore. And I said, okay. I said, but why? I mean, why would you turn from Christ to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, to another religion? And God only had one religion, and he put that aside. The Jewish religion, that was the law. And the law was, for the law was to teach you what?
The law could do.
You can't do it. The law was a schoolmaster to bring you where?
Christ.
To Christ. To bring you to who? To Christ. And when she said that, I say, well, I took in one verse. That was in 1 Timothy, where he said this. He says, if we suffer with him, well, it was actually two verses. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. That's He won't go against his promises. And she can say, well, were we talking last week? I don't believe this anymore. But if you make that heart transaction with the Lord, guess what? You're in.
Irrevocable.
Or as Jerry would say, irrevocable. It's done. Because it's a spiritual transaction that has nothing to do, that doesn't hinge on your faithfulness. Our faithfulness is, it's a gift. As a matter of fact, it's a gift that that you can't give back. That's, isn't that something? You think about, you ever gave somebody? I remember people try to give you, they try to give you things. Say, no, take it. If you don't take this, it's going to hurt my feelings. And then you finally take it, and once you get it, they won't take it back. That's how God is. He's, once I give it to you, He said the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. So when you say I've trusted Him, He said, from that moment, you said it last week, you didn't feel it. You didn't see it. It didn't make you do things. But it's something that happened inside that was irrevocable.
Why you gotta believe it?
That's, and it's all because of what He did. No, it wasn't. But when He's... says to the Galatians, back to I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ and unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's heavy. And you say, well, Paul, wait a minute. I thought you was preaching the grace of God. Why would you curse a man? Because the weight is in the message. It's not him. It's the message that he has been entrusted with. That's how serious the message is what Paul could pronounce a curse on a man who preached any other gospel. Not just a man, but a what? Even an angel.
And not only an angel, but an angel
from heaven.
Anybody,
right? And you know, I begin to think about it, and I say, oh, well, a curse. So James asked last week, what is the curse? And before we get to that, though, the thing is Paul can say that because he's operating in authority. That's why when he starts off, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. He says, the gospel that I received, I got it from where? From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. Now, I'm thinking about this. We know how this goes. This is the only way I can think of this. Now, here you have we just say this is grace, the gospel of grace right here. And you got, that's the beginning. Creation, right? Then you have the gospel of the kingdom right here. Right? This is before. This is the foundation of the world. Let's just say that's the earth. How about I do this? just put an E there for earth. Right? Matter of fact, I don't even like that. We'll put it here. Okay? This gospel was since the world began, right? This gospel was where? Before the world began. Now, all this information is here. It's in the mind of God, right? And we're going through time. There's that timeline. We're going through time right here. Since the world began, we're going all the way through time. And this is all this information is known, right? And then you get to the cross. And that's where God decides that everything that he had back here, everything that he wanted to do, that he planned, that he needed to accomplish, everything he invested in his son. And then Paul said this, God called me by his grace, he says, to give me the gospel of grace, the gospel, the gospel of the grace of Christ, or the gospel of the grace of God. He kept it secret. Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, Colossians. He kept it secret until he saved me. Paul, right here. Until he saved me. So God carried all this information throughout all ages, and then he just dumped it on that one man. Can you believe that? So you can see why Paul can get over here and he was like, I'll tell you this. If any man preach any other gospel than what I receive, let him be accursed. Me, we, or an angel, if they preach any other gospel than I received, again, I say, let him be accursed. What more? What? It's not him, it's this. It's the information. Because what he gets, he says this. He says, there might be some that pervert the gospel of Christ. You're telling God that everything that you planned, you didn't quite get it right. Because I got something extra. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If God said this is the hidden wisdom ordained before the foundation of the world to our glory, and he says, I'm giving it to Paul to make it known, and it's all about what Christ has done. And then you get another man that comes right behind him and says, but you gotta keep the law. There's something that you missed. Romans 11 says this: Who has known the mind of the Lord that they might instruct him? Or who has been his counselor? Were you back here? Now, so when you get here, how can you tell me that you got better news than what he received? When I say he, but then what Paul received. How can you say I got better news than what you got, Paul? You can't do it. You can't say it in truth. So, Paul said this, I say, if any man preach any other gospel than what we preached, let him be accursed. And we've spent some time in Joshua. Remember where God told him when they were getting ready to go into the land, he says, don't take the accursed thing. Joshua chapter 6. Well, you know, Joshua, hold your hand and let's look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua, Judges. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. God began to, he's taking over these cities, right? And he's using Israel to do it because he's got another purpose for that land, right? So he's got to move everything out of that land that's not his. He's got to move everything out of that land that's not his. Because if it's not something that he set apart, if God set it apart, what is it?
Holy.
It's holy. If he didn't set it apart, what is it?
Unholy.
Okay, if he set it apart, then it's acceptable. Right? If he didn't set it apart, then it's what?
Unacceptable.
I'm looking for the accursed word. It's accursed, right? Okay, 6:17. And the city shall be what? Joshua 6:17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because that she hid the messengers that we sent in. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Look at chapter 7. And then we have one man who did what? But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the Lord was and the Lord and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now we won't go into too much of that, but is God happy with if he says I want you to do away with this and you pick it up? God says that that's what? It's a curse.
Don't,
right. But God said this, I have gotten rid of the law. I've gotten rid of outside performance. Think of that, for righteousness. Right. Because when Christ died, Christ what? Is the
end
of the law for righteousness. He said this, I have set him forth. I have declared his righteousness for the remission of sins. Not yours. His righteousness. So he says now, he says, I've took the law out of the way, nailed it to the cross, right? The law was the schoolmaster to bring you to him, that you might be justified by faith. So, when we pick that up, when we pick this back up, that's why God, that's why Paul can say this. Let him be accursed. So the Judaizers come back and they says, yeah, we know, but can't forget about this. Doesn't that, when you look at it, doesn't that, you can see how accursed that is, don't you? Is why? Why? What is God thinking about that? You think he'd say, yeah, I gave the law, so that's fine. You can keep them both. You can keep Christ and the law. They're trampling underfoot the grace of God. Say it again. It's not like a slap in the face. It is. It is a slap in the face. Okay, back to Galatians. You said verse 6?
Oh, I said, is that
Oh, right, right. They've done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You can't, after, listen. That's what I say about the scripture. God has the wisdom and knowledge and treasures that God has kept in his mind from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. He has revealed it through his Son. And Paul said this, his Son has revealed it to me. And he said this, and I have revealed it to you. He says, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Hold your hand there. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 2. Get Colossians 2 first, since that's the first one. No, that's the second one. Get Ephesians chapter 3, then Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. All right, now, look up here for a second. He said this. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that God, the dispensation means to give out. You remember those when you go to, you get those cups. You got one out here where you pull the cup out. That's a dispenser. And you pull it out, and what you get out of there? The machine is set up to give you what? Cups. So the person who designed it, he set it up to give you what? Cups. Well, God said this. This is the dispensation of the grace of God, where I've set it up now to give you what? What? Grace. Not right. There's more that encompasses that word than we think about. But he says, I've set this time frame up to give you grace. And not only that, he says, this is what, huh? And to reveal it through Paul, who's the dispenser. He says, and I've set this up to give you dispensation also is that the way you run your house. You know, the dispensation is the oikonomos, is the house rule. Exactly. It is. That's why I said there's more involved in grace than us just getting it. That's why I said this is the dispensation of the grace of God. There's a lot involved in here. Not just what the information that God has. I guess we really sidetracked there. But he says, how that by revelation, he says that he made known unto me, how that by revelation, he got it. However, revelation, he made known unto me mystery. Back here. What God had in mind before the foundation of the world, he says he made it known to me. And he said this. He says, whereby when you read, he says, now I got it. Not only do I have it, I wrote it down. Right? So when I give you this information, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Corinthians, he says, when I give you this information, you'll know. You will understand my knowledge about what went on back here. They can't tell you this. They won't tell you this. He says, that's why, he says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. He says, I got it. He says, verse 8, unto me, this Paul, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what? You can look back here. Look back here. You won't find this. Unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which hath been, which with from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold wisdom of God. You know, I think about, I don't know why I thought about Medusa. Because, yeah, I think we know she's got, there's all, you know, they're everywhere. Where you try to, that's why I said this is, it's inexhaustible. Where you try to pinpoint God's wisdom in the scripture, you say, here it is. Yeah, you just got one link of it. Or you say, well, it's over here. Well, not quite. He said, that's just another part of it. Oh, it's right here. No, you didn't get all of it. It's you can't get it. You can't get it all. That's why Paul says, I'm praying now that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of what? Of his wisdom, of the plan that he laid out. And he says, and to know the love of Christ, which does what? Which passes all knowledge. He said, this is something for you to grasp after down here. You won't get it, but he said you run after it. Like chasing a squirrel or chasing a rabbit. He says, if you can get them in your sights, that's good. But you won't ever grab them. But you can get close. That's where Paul said that this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to get to know him. Well, here's the man, he says, I want to get to know him, the man who got all the information. He said, I want to get to know him. He said, what are you talking about, Paul? You got the revelation. He says, yeah, but I still want to get to know him. Wow. Okay, Colossians. You know what? Well, we get to go a little bit further. Colossians 2, yes. He says, verse 1, 2 and 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Here you go. He says, the mystery up here. He says, the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. He's back here referring to the gospel that was hid. He says this, in whom, this mystery, in whom, of in Christ, in whom are hid, how many? All what? Of what? In who? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in where? And Paul said this. He says, but now he's given me the information to unhid it, to uncover it, to reveal it. So, even though he's starting off, now back to Galatians, even though he's starting off in Galatians, you can see where he can say this. Back to Galatians. He says, there's some that trouble you. They trouble you. What's that? Right.
According to the traditional meaning.
Wow. That's, wow. And it, King James said this, beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil you. He's not. He's cheating you, yes, but he's taking spoil. He's taking your treasure. When they talked about in the Old Testament, when they went in and they conquered those cities, they spoiled them. They took, when they went out and they came out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took their gold, they took their silver, they took all those valuables. Well, if a man comes around, he says, James, you got to do this to be saved. Or you have to do this. He just robbed you. He just spoiled you.
I think the last key in the verse it says, and not according to Christ.
That's right. Because it's, you have to be, that's why he says you have to be occupied with him. What's in him? Not outside gospels. So Paul comes up and he says, that's why he says, he's kind of saying, I told you what you had. He says, I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That's what he said, which is not another.
Because there's not another.
That's anything else outside of him. That's not good news. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And it all boils down to the message, to the words. That's what we talked about, the words. Is there somebody out there who doesn't want you to get the words of God. That doesn't want you to rest in the words of God. What he said to you. They want to cheat you. They want to. I can't think of the word. Man. But anyway. They don't want you to rest in this. Right? The question is, it boils down to the gospel. It boils down to, and we talked about the gospel. What makes up the gospel? It's words. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. That's why you don't go by experience now. You can't go by experience because God has invested everything in his word. Hello? Because he's already revealed everything that he's done. The living word enacted his plan, carried it out, and then he says, okay, now you record this. That's why he says in Hebrews, I come in the volume of the book. And he comes here and he fulfills it, and then he gives it to his prophets, apostles and prophets, to write it down, to give it to you in hard copy. Right? So when you do, that's what, when you read, then you can see, okay, this is what he did. like when Paul told Agrippa, he says, the king, he says, king, I know you know about this. I like that. He started talking to him. He says, all these things that Christ done, he was resurrected. And Agrippa said this. He says, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. He says, what are you talking about? Stuff that was hidden. He says, I'm not mad, king. Oh, noble. Oh, most noble king. He says, I'm not mad. He says, I know the king knows about these things. You know what he said? He says, this thing was not done in a corner. He said, this thing, everybody knows about this. He says, but the gospel, it's the gospel. And, what did I say? Romans 10, verse 14. 10:14. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, you know what? It all goes back to the words, to the gospel. Where'd you get your words from? That's why Paul, he comes up and he says, I speak the truth in Christ. He says, I lie not. I'm a preacher, teacher, apostle, in truth and verity. He says, I know where I got my words. That's what he can tell Timothy. He says, Timothy, you say you be strong in this gospel, knowing of whom thou hast received them. You know where you got the words from. So he says, I say to you, Galatians, he says, if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's telling the Galatians, he says, does this sound like a man who's trying to win friends and influence people? No, it doesn't. And Paul he's completely sold out to the gospel, because he knows where he got the words from. If any gospel other than the gospel of grace of God is preached today, it's not from God. Let me rephrase that. If any gospel today other than the gospel of God is preached, it's not God's gospel for today. Because he did give other gospels. But it's not his gospel for today. For us to rest and believe in.
If we know Christ on the words, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached.
Among others. So we're going to stop right there. And we'll...